Well, I hope everyone's new year has gotten off to a good start. It is good for us to be here on this Lord's Day with brethren that we love to worship the God that we love. If you'd like to, we're going to be studying in Psalm 119 this morning, so open your Bibles there. Psalm 119, and we're going to be doing a verse-by-verse study of 176 verses. This is the time of the year that people make resolutions for the year to come. We make a list of things or goals that we'd like to do better. And most of those things are intended to better ourselves, to increase our involvement in good things, lose weight, or get more organized. Sometimes Christians use this opportunity to decide to study the Bible more often. And sometimes at the beginning of the year, Christians may choose a Bible reading plan that they can follow throughout the year that takes them through the entire Bible for a year, or maybe just the New Testament for a year. And that's a very good thing to do. I would highly recommend doing that if you haven't already done that. In the bulletin, if you've noticed, on the back of it, there's a little section at the very bottom right-hand corner where there's a Bible reading plan, and I'm going to be publishing a plan for that purpose to help you read the Bible throughout the year, if you choose to follow that. You don't have to, of course. But that is a very good goal to have, and a very noble endeavor to study the Bible more often and better. But if we're going to succeed this year in studying the Bible better and reading it more frequently, we've got to begin with something else. We've got to ask ourselves, how much do we love the Word of God? Do we enjoy reading the Bible? And sometimes reading the Bible is not always very enjoyable, particularly in places where we're reading places that's not very interesting. But we have to begin here. How do we train ourselves to love the Word of God? If we're going to succeed in fulfilling our resolutions to read the Bible more often and better with better purpose, then we're going to have to be dedicated to it. We're going to have to stick to it. We're going to have to be diligent in working towards that goal. And if we train ourselves to love the Word of God more, I think then we will find ourselves doing that better. Larry Schultz and I have been getting together about once a week at McDonald's recently. And we eat lunch together and we read a chapter of the Bible and study together. And a few months ago, he and I were reading from the book of Matthew. And we met a gentleman who was sitting behind us, and he was overhearing the things that we were reading. And he expressed some interest in joining us. And so we said, of course, you know, join us. We'd love to hear or love to share with you the Word of God. And as we got to talking with him, we found that he knew his Bible very well. And he quoted some passages from the Bible. In fact, he was familiar with the chapter in Matthew that we were reading. And he told us some of the things that he found interesting in that chapter. And I saw in him a genuine, sincere love for God's Word. And as we got to talking with him, I found it very surprising. I asked him how long he's been a Christian, and he said just a few years. I don't remember what the exact number was. It may have been 4 or 5, but it was something like that. And for a person that's only been a Christian for 4 or 5 years to know the Bible that well really surprised me, really shocked me. And later on, I got to thinking to myself, do I know the Word of God that well? Do my brethren know the Word of God that well? How much do we love the Word of God? And what that gentleman illustrates to us is that if we love God's Word, then we're going to do everything that we can to diligently know it and seek it out. And that's what I want us to think about this morning, is as how do we increase our love for God's Word? How do we train ourselves to love God's Word even more than we already do? And I know of no better passage to read from and thinking about this question than Psalm 119, because this whole psalm, this whole chapter is about love and devotion to God's Word. So as we begin this morning, I just want to share with you a few facts about this psalm to familiarize ourselves with it. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible. It has 176 verses. We're not going to do a verse-by-verse study this morning, just kind of get an overview of it. But those 176 verses are broken down into 22 stanzas. And each of those stanzas has 8 verses each. If you multiply 22 by 8, you get 176. There's a lot of verses in there. But the reason that these verses are broken down this way is because this is an acrostic poem or an acrostic psalm. An acrostic simply means that it's following the alphabet. If you take your name, sometimes in school we used to do this where we would take our name and we used to write, you know, for Emerson, E being the first letter, I'd write a word that describes me. The second letter, write a word that describes me. That's what it means to have an acrostic. And that's the way this psalm is structured, and it is an acrostic, following the Hebrew alphabet. For example, if you notice in Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8, each of those verses, each verse begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is Aleph. And then when you get to the second stanza, verses 9 through 16, each verse begins with the second Hebrew letter of the alphabet, Beth, and it just goes on throughout 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And what that shows us is that somebody, whoever wrote this psalm, we don't know, but whoever did put a lot of thought and a lot of time and effort into writing the psalm. It wasn't just something that they did on a whim, but it was something that they put a lot of effort and thought into writing, because the subject of this psalm was very important to them. The psalm is about the Word of God and loving everything that comes out of God's mouth. And they wanted to put forth a lot of effort in thinking about that and describing and exalting the Word of God and speaking of His devotion and His love to following and knowing and understanding the law of God. And so he repeatedly speaks of God's Word over and over again. In fact, if we were to read the whole psalm this morning, we would probably, you know, say, well, why is he repeating so often? I love the Word of God. How awesome are your laws? How awesome are your ordinances? Over and over again, he speaks of God's Word. In fact, in every single verse in this psalm, except two, he speaks of love for God's Word. In 174 verses, he repeats over and over how great I love God's Word. And he uses eight words to describe the words of God. Eight synonyms used for God's Word here. First, he uses the word law, or you may have heard the word Torah. He uses the word to describe God's Word. He uses the word laws, which in the Hebrew is different than the word Torah. He uses the word statutes. He uses the word commands. He uses decrees. He uses precepts and he uses promises. All of these describe what he loves. Communication coming from God's mouth. And this describes all of the scripture to the psalmist. It describes everything that the psalmist had access to in the Bible. At his time, it may have been that the books of the Old Testament were written. We don't know at one point. He wrote this psalm, so we don't know what books were written, but we know it must have included the old law, the law of Moses. We know it probably included the books of 1 Samuel and Kings and the books of history that tell us about Israel. Perhaps it included the prophets too. But whatever it is, because it's God's Word, he says he loves it. And the interesting thing about this psalm is we come to it with this question: How do I increase my love for God's Word? How does the psalmist answer that question? You know, the psalmist, it's very clear when you read this psalm, he loves God's Word. Whatever comes out of God's mouth, he's going to listen to it and he's devoted to it. He loves God's Word. How do we grow to love God's Word that much? How do we grow to love the Word of God so that whatever comes out of his mouth, we deem as law, and we deem as truth, and we devote ourselves to keeping every bit of it as quickly as we can? How do we grow to love God's Word like him? Well, the psalmist, interestingly, doesn't really give us a list of steps to take. He doesn't hand us a laundry list of activities to do. But instead, what he does is he illustrates what it is to love God's Word. He illustrates what it means to have the attitude of devotion to God. And I think that's why he repeatedly, over and over again, in so many words, describes what it means to love God's Word. Is he's illustrating the attitude or the mindset that you and I ought to adopt if we want to love God's Word more. It's not just about spending 20 minutes every day reading God's Word, which is something we ought to do. But it's not just about just a laundry list of actions that we need to take. You know, we may spend 20 minutes reading God's Word every day, but that isn't necessarily going to increase our love for God's Word. There has to be something changing within our hearts and within our minds if we are going to read God's Word and love what we're reading. And that's what the psalmist is telling us here. If we're going to increase in our love for God's Word, we've got to have the same mindset that the psalmist has here. If we're going to increase our devotion and our love for God's Word, it's got to begin in our will and in our hearts. Not just, you know, using a quick fix. You know, there really is no quick fix. There is no magic pill for growing in our love for God's Word. It's going to take work. And it's going to take some devotion. It's going to require a change within our hearts. And so we're going to talk this morning about the psalmist's attitude towards the Word of God. And it's very clear that he has a great, strong love for God's Word. Let's look at a few verses in this psalm that illustrate that. Go with me to verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. This pretty much describes in one verse what the psalm is about. He says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Because he loves God's law, he meditates on it all the day, or every day. In verse 103, he describes his love for God's word as being stronger than that of honey. Psalm 119, verse 103, it says, "How sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Back in the psalmist's day, honey was used as a dessert. It was a very, obviously it's sweet, but it was used as a dessert back then. You couldn't just go to Dairy Queen and get an ice cream cone, or they didn't have Snickers bars back then, but they used honey as a way to satisfy that craving for something sweet. So brethren, if you're one of those people that really likes chocolate, what he's saying here is, I love it more than that. Now, my weakness is fruit cobbler and vanilla ice cream. And the question I need to ask myself is, do I love the Word of God more than that? I'm not trying to be crass here or downplay the Word of God, but that's what he's saying here. The Word of God is sweeter to me than anything that has ever touched my physical lips. That's how much I desire the Word of the Lord. But he doesn't just love it more than honey, but he also loves it more than money. If you notice in verse 72, he says, "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." In verse 127, he says, "Therefore I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold." Whatever type of money, gold and silver and physical possessions he could have owned, he would have traded anything to have the Word of God because he loved it that much. In verse 131, he describes his love for God's Word in this way. "I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments." It's like a dog who's very thirsty on a hot day. He opens his mouth and his tongue is hanging out. He's panting. He's thirsty. He wants something to satisfy his thirst. He's craving water. And the psalmist says, "I thirst for God's Word like a thirsty dog. I opened my mouth and I panted." That's just how strong his desire was for God's Word. In verse 148, he says, "My eyes anticipate the night watches that I may meditate on your Word." The psalmist looked forward to the times when he could be alone and the times when everybody else was asleep so that he could think and meditate and ponder what God had said. Do we look forward to those times when we can think about and read about and apply what God has said? This is just how much the psalmist loved the Word of God. And his love is also seen in his humble, teachable spirit. When you go to verses 33 through 40, this is the fifth stanza of the psalm, and you really can see just how humble he was in relation to God and how he's asking God to teach him his ways. In verse 33, he says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the pathway of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness. 10 times in this entire psalm, the psalmist says, teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. That's just how much he loves the word of God. So you can see that he really does have a devotion, a sincere, genuine devotion to everything that God has said. But it's interesting when you look at other verses in this psalm, it wasn't always like that. The psalmist refers to or alludes to a time when he didn't always love the word of God. If you look at verse 67, in verse 67, the psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. There was once upon a time when the psalmist didn't have the kind of love that he has here. He says, I went astray before I was afflicted. Well, what changed? What made him love the word of God more? In verse 71, he tells us. In verse 71, he says, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. You listen to what the psalmist is saying there. He says, once upon a time, I didn't love the word of God. Once upon a time, I went astray. But then when I suffered and when I was afflicted, probably because of what God allowed him to suffer, by my affliction, I learned the statutes of the Lord. Sometimes affliction can increase our love for the Word of God. When we go through suffering, sometimes we wonder, what's the purpose of these sufferings? Sometimes it may be God chastening us, as the Lord chastened the psalmist here, to teach him to love the ways of the Lord. The psalmist didn't always love the ways of the Lord, but he learned that. It is something that we learn. It's not just something that happens through osmosis, but we learn the way of the Lord, and we learn to love it. And even now, at the very end of his psalm, he says, I still sometimes wander from the Lord's ways. In verse 176, at the very end of the psalm, he says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. You know, he's talked about his devotion to the law of God. He's talked about how much he loves God's words. And at the very end, he says, I have gone astray like a sheep. He's admitting that even though he loves God's word, he's not perfect. This is part of his humble spirit coming out. He continually needs to devote himself to the word of God. Even though he loves God's word, he still struggles sometimes. And there's an important lesson for us this morning from this. And if we want to train ourselves to love God's word more, it's going to have to take training. It's going to take exercise. It's going to take time. It's going to take some effort. It's not just something that we go to sleep Sunday night thinking to ourselves, well, I need to love the word of God more. And then Monday morning we wake up and say, oh, I love God's word today. That's not the way it works. We've got to devote ourselves to studying. We've got to devote ourselves diligently to knowing and increasing our love for the Word of God. Sometimes it may even require the Lord's chastening, as it did with the psalmist. And so the question remains, where does the psalmist's love come from? Why does he love the Word of God so much? Yes, it took some time for him to learn it. It took some chastening for him. But where does his love come from? Why does he love the Word of God so much? And I think if we can answer that question, if we can see why he loves the Word of God so much, then we can apply it to ourselves and we can say, well, that's what I need to do to love God's Word more. How does the psalmist love God's Word? Why does he love God's Word? Well, when you read the psalm, the answer is really quite simple. He loves the Word of God because it's God's Word. And that sounds very simple, but when you think about it, if we understand that God's Word is His Word and that it's coming from the God that we love, The God that we're striving to get closer to, the God that we're striving to serve, and we see that He's giving us this gift of His Word, then I think we will grow to love it even more. And that's where the psalmist's love comes from. There are two reasons that this breaks down into that he loves God's Word. First of all, he loves God's Word because it came from the God that he loved. He has a devotion and a love for God. This psalm is not just about loving God's Word, but really it's about loving God Himself. And you see that. The psalmist loved God's Word because he loves God. And so because he loves God, whatever God says and whatever God speaks, he's going to love that Word. But he also loves God's Word because the purpose of the Word that God gives is to draw him closer to the God that he loves. That's why God gives us His Word. He doesn't just give us His Word so that we can, you know, do right and do wrong, but He gives us this Word so that we can follow Him and so that we can be devoted to Him, so that we can love Him and draw closer to Him. The Bible talks about drawing near to God, and that's what the Bible is really all about. God gives us His Word so that we can draw near to Him. And that's why the psalmist loves God's Word, because it draws him closer to the God who gave those words. When you read the psalm, there are a lot of descriptions of God's Word. He uses a lot of adjectives to describe the Word of God is. Now let's just take a look at a few of those. God's Word, he says, is righteous. In verse 75 of the psalm, he says, "I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me." God's Word is righteous, he says. It is good. It is holy. It is upright. Then he says, it is good. In verse 39, read with me verse 39, he says, "Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are good." In verse 86, he describes the Word of God as faithful. Verse 86, "All your commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with a lie. Help me." He describes God's Word as perfect. In verse 96, he says, "I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad." Now let's pause for a moment there and think about that. What he's saying is, I've seen human imperfection. And I've seen that what humans do and what humans say, humans are imperfect. There's a limit to what we can do. But when it comes to God's Word, there is no limit to His perfection. God's Word is the standard of perfection. What it says is perfect. And in fact, God's Word exceeds perfection. It is perfect, he says. In verses 89 through 91, he describes the Word as forever settled in heaven. "Forever, O Lord, your Word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances, for all things are your servants." God's Word is settled. It is eternal. It's always going to be the way it has been. What God says is never going to change, he's saying. Then he describes the Word of God as right. In verse 128, he says, "Therefore I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything. I hate every false way." If God's way is right, and we esteem it as being right, then everything that is opposed to God's Word is logically false. That's why he says, "I love the right way, but I hate everything that is false." And that's what should happen whenever we love God's Word. We love what is right, but we hate everything that is false. Then he says in verse 137 that God's way is upright. "Righteous are you, O Lord," he says, "and upright are your judgments." And then finally in verse 151, he says God's Word is truth. He says, "You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth." In another place, I think he says, "The sum of your Word is truth." And what I'm telling you this morning is that the psalmist loved God's Word because all these things are true of God's Word. He loves God's Word because it is true, it is upright, it is good, it is holy, it is perfect. Sometimes we describe the Word of God as the good book. And that's all good and well, but what do we really mean by it's the good book? I've read a handful of good books in my short lifetime. In high school, we were required to read some good books in English class. We've got a book at home that's written by Dave Ramsey. You may have heard of him. He's kind of a financial consultant. He gives people advice on how to use your money, and he's written some good books that have good advice there. But what's the difference between something that is written by man that has good advice and what God has written to us? The difference is that what man has written, even though it may be good and helpful, it's not perfect. It's not righteous. It is not good in the sense that the Bible is good. It might have helpful advice. It might have some moral teaching to us. But it is not the same as the Word of God. The Word of God is good in a sense far better than any man can say, my work is good. God's Word is good because God is good. Sometimes we have a tendency to look at the Bible as just a book that has a lot of moral teaching to it, or it's got some good advice from in Proverbs. It's not just those things. Yes, it does have good advice to us, and it gives us good counsel, but it is the eternal, righteous, forever standing Word of God. And we've got to see it as that. And I think if we do see it as that, brethren, then we will start to love the Word of God as it really is. We will love the Word of God simply because it is God's Word. Not just because it helps us live a good life, but because it comes from a good and holy, perfect, eternal God in heaven. I've never met anybody that would describe the Bible as an evil book. Just, you know, that book is just full of wickedness and sin and bad. I don't know anybody that would describe it that. A lot of people would say this is a good book. But I also know some people who would describe the Bible as a good book, but who wouldn't say it is righteous, it is good, it is holy, it is perfect. There is a difference between saying it is good and saying that it is holy and righteous and perfect. We've got to look at the Bible as the psalmist saw the Word of God, as the eternally settled, perfect, upright, righteous, never-changing truth, because it's God's Word. And if we look at it that way, I think we'll start to love the Word of God more. Well, why is it true that the Bible is good? Why is it true that God's Word is perfect and holy and righteous? Well, that's true because God Himself is holy and perfect and righteous. The psalmist himself says in verse 68, he says, "You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." Because God is good and because God does good, His Word is good. The Word is righteous because God is righteous. In verse 137, he says, "Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments." Because God is upright, because He is righteous, His Word is the same. God's Word is true because God Himself is truth. In verse 142, he says, "Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth." Why ought we to love the Word of God? Because we love God Himself. And because we recognize that it is the perfect Word that comes from the perfect God. And if we love God as we ought to, then we will be growing in our love for the Word of God. Just an illustration that helps us understand this a little bit better. We read verse 97 where the psalmist says, "How I love your law." Well, what is he referring to there, your law? Well, if you go back and read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that's what the Jews consider the law of God. And he's including the book of Leviticus in that. He loves the book of Leviticus. And I don't know how many of us would truly, honestly say, "I love studying the book of Leviticus." But the psalmist does. He says, "I love your law," including all those repetitive commands of the Lord about these sacrifices and about you can't wear clothing with two types of fabric, linen and cotton in the same garment. Those, to us, they seem so repetitive and pointless. But to the psalmist, they were the Word of God. And they came out of his mouth and he respected that. And he says, "I love it." Why did he love those laws? Well, the book of Leviticus gives us a clue as to why he loved those laws. In Leviticus chapter 19, Leviticus chapter 19, God himself gives us a hint as to why these laws were written for the Jews. He says in Leviticus 19, verse 2, "Speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" The reason that God gave the people of Israel those laws was not just so that God can sit up in heaven and laugh at them scrambling, trying to keep these laws, but to teach them how to be holy as God himself as holy. And that's what the Lord wants from us today. No, we're not under the old law as the psalmist was, but there is an aspect of law in our service to Christ. There is an aspect in which we must serve Christ as we are serving one who has given us law. Do we love the law of Christ as the psalmist loved the law of God? The reason we need to love it is because it teaches us about the God that we serve. Not just because it's a bunch of do's and don'ts, but because it reveals who God is himself. God's word is his revelation of who he is and therefore who we ought to be. And that's where our love for the word of God must begin. So as we wrap this up this morning, just a couple of thoughts that help tie up the loose ends. God's word, above all, is intended to teach us who God is and therefore who we ought to be. And if that's our goal, if our goal is to know God and know Jesus Christ so that we can know what they want us to do and know what they want us to be, then we will see that word that comes to us as his gift, then we will start to love the word of God as we ought to. That fact alone should increase our hunger and our thirst for God's word. What does Jesus say? "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." And then, there is no magic pill for increasing our love for God's word. There's nothing I can say to you this morning, five things you can do to go home and increase your love for the word of God as merely actions. What we must do is we must understand and grow to appreciate that God's word is his word. And I think then we will grow to understand God's word as it really is. Just want to leave you with one verse this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, "Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." He says we ought to desire and long for the milk of the word as a baby. A brand new newborn baby desires its mother's milk. Have you ever heard a newborn baby cry? There's only one thing that can satisfy that cry, and that is food from its mother. And this morning, we need to ask ourselves, how strong is our hunger for the Word of God? Could we compare it to the hunger that a baby feels? Do we cry out for the Word of God as a baby cries out? The interesting thing about God's word is, and when we hunger for God's word, it satisfies that hunger. Jesus says that we will be filled when we hunger and thirst for righteousness. But while we're on this earth, even though we may be filled with that hunger, we continue to hunger, don't we? The word of God doesn't just satisfy our hunger, but it even increases our hunger for God's word so that we cry out for more and more. And I think that's by God's design. God wants us to depend upon him for everything. And so let us recognize that God's word is God's word and love it as that this year. So this year, as you devote yourself to studying the word of God better, reading it more often, think about that. Think about what it is and what it has been given to us for. If you're not a Christian this morning, we encourage you to become one. The Bible says that in order to become a Christian, you've got to believe in Jesus Christ. You've got to repent of your sins, and you've got to be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22, verse 16. If that's what you need to do this morning, please come. We'll help you while together we stand and as we sing.